We're here weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time on the BetMGM Network. Appreciate you hanging out. We're here another hour and 20 minutes from now. We'll talk some more college football, break down the Heisman Trophy odds that are out there, and some of our favorite looks for this upcoming college football season. Bunch of games going down tomorrow night. But right now, let's talk some Major League Baseball. We bring in 13-year big leaguer Kevin Pillar on the show. He is now one of the hosts on Foul Territory, which you can check out weekdays at 1 o'clock Eastern. Kevin, I saw the press release the other day. Congratulations on the next gig. It's like you're still in the majors with the press release that they put out there for Foul Territory, man.
Yeah, when I read it, it seemed like I signed a long-term deal, and it got me excited because that's something I never got a chance to do in my playing career. But definitely still excited to, talk baseball. It's what I love to do. I kind of wish we were talking college football too, because I love college football. It excites me so much that it's actually already started, but really this matchup on Saturday is going to be really exciting.
Oh, don't you worry. We can talk college football. In fact, I'm curious, who's your squad? Do you have a team that you roll for?
It's changing. I've recently moved to the Dallas area, so I'm kind of a free agent. I've kind of always been a closet Texas fan. Love the uniforms. Growing up, though, I was a USC fan. I mean, I grew up with the Reggie Bush, Matt Leiner era, so it was a fun time to be a USC fan. When they're on, I still root for them. But there's so much better teams out there to root for. I just really want to go to a big time college football game. So whether that's going to, a Texas game, an LSU game, an Alabama game, I have to get to an SEC game. I've heard they're just, it's the best to go on Saturday.
That's my thing. Sam, have you gone? Like, that's bucket list for me. I have not gone to an SEC game somehow. And, that's gotta be knocked off. Sam, have you gone to any of them?
No, I've been to a Texas game, but at the time they were in the Big 12. That was the year Bryce Young took number one Bama into Austin, and Texas missed a field goal at the end of the game to win it. They were kicking for the win. I think the final score was 20-19. Kevin, it was 100 degrees out, and I forgot my sunscreen at home. I flew from Boston to Austin, forgot my sunscreen. I looked like the Kool-Aid man at the end of the third quarter. I was going to say
you strike me as a guy that needs his sunscreen. So
yes,
I'm sure that was a tough, I'm sure that was a tough couple days after. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to go to a big time, SEC school, Michigan, Ohio State.
Yes.
I can't even imagine what that would be like. Maybe make the drive up to Oklahoma. I'm not too far from Norman. That would be an awesome place to go see a football game too.
Oklahoma, Michigan, dude, week two in Norman.
Ooh, I know. As I told you guys off camera, I'm on the way to a doctor's appointment right now. So I don't think in 2 weeks I'm going to be leaving the house much. So, I'm also a big fan of just watching sports at home too. Especially football. I love being at home watching football. It's one of my most favorite things to do, whether it's college or the NFL. I look forward to Saturdays and Sundays, having friends over, and just, watching big time football.
Yeah. Pretty soon you won't be sleeping much, but hey, you'll be up at all hours watching the West Coast games. You won't miss
That's the great thing. That's the great thing is football's on all day, every day, especially college. So if we're going to have some late nights, early mornings, hopefully they're on weekends because there'll be some football on.
Well, we got to get your thoughts on the Toronto Blue Jays because many people are shocked. All season long, the Yankees are the favorite. Even when the Jays took over the division, took over the lead, like they were still like, okay, the Yankees are going to bring this back. They're going to wrestle back the division. They were still favored until it's been a while, and they're like, okay, all right, this is deserved. A 4-game lead right now for Toronto in the American League East. That's where you spent most of your playing days. What do you think? How real is this? Because, a lot of people look at it and say, hey, it's great what they've done, but run differential-wise, they're not at the level of Boston and New York.
Yeah, as you were saying all that, I was taking a deep breath because I have a lot of thoughts on it. One, I do think they are for real. I think they can win the division. I think they can make a deep run in the playoffs. I am concerned about a couple of things you said. The run differential isn't the best. What they do really well is they pitch and they play really good defense and they hit for average and they run the bases well. All that stuff plays extremely well. Since this is a betting show, and if I was a betting man, I was told from a GM that I think it's somewhere around 70% of teams that hit more home runs in a playoff series win. And that's the one thing that I'm concerned about with the Blue Jays, is they don't slug a ton. And we do get into postseason baseball. And I don't want to say it's a guarantee, because I played on a Toronto Blue Jay team that slugged, and we played a team in the Kansas City Royals that did not slug, and they beat us. So there is a lot of different ways you can win a game. But majority of the time, the team that hits the most home runs in a playoff series wins. Pitching is just at its, you know, everything is magnified in the playoffs. You're going to get a starter a little bit shorter in a game. You're going to get high leverage relievers earlier in the game. So scoring. Scoring runs becomes a little bit more difficult. So be my only concern about them. And the only other thing for the division right now, only a 4-game lead. They have a lot of guys that haven't been in this position before. They got two really good teams. I honestly like the Red Sox more than I like the Yankees. But they got a good team with a lot of experienced guys kind of breathing up their neck. It's one thing to play good baseball throughout the year. It's another thing to continue to play good baseball, meaningful, important baseball in September. So those would be my concerns, but I do really like what they've done and what they're probably going to be able to do down the stretch.
Your point about the home runs, extremely valid. Oftentimes we look up and whichever bats are hot, that's the team that wins. But I do want to touch on pitching here. I saw this last night. I couldn't believe it. Since the beginning of June, the Boston Red Sox have the best starting rotation ERA in baseball, 3.23. I think everybody knew Garrett Crochet would be an anchor, and he would carry the mail for them every 5 days. But the pitching that they're getting from Bayo, from Lucas Giolito, it's been unbelievable. 3.23 ERA in the rotation since early June. I don't know that they can keep it up, but are you buying that rotation if they make a run to the playoffs?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, like you said, they got a monster. They got a legitimate ace, a guy who, you know, could be the Cy Young Award winner. I mean, it's him or Tarek right now in the AL, you know, especially with Eovaldi going down and probably not pitching the rest of the year. But, I mean, there's a reason they gave Bayo that contract a couple years ago. They felt like he had number one stuff. He's starting to pitch like a number one. And even if he isn't a number one, number two, and then Giolito, I mean, he's a guy that was a really, really legit pitcher a couple years ago. Coming back from Tommy John is never easy. It takes some guys some time. He is finally hitting his stride. My only concern about him going down the stretch is he hasn't pitched a ton in the last 2 years. Does he have an innings limit? Does his body start to break down? But he's pitching like the Lucas Giolito that, you know, everyone thought he was going to get a big deal before he got hurt going into free agency.
With Kevin Pillar of Foul Territory, this is Bet Sweats, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich with you. All right, you're an American League team in the playoffs. What other American League team do you not want to draw in your first round?
I mean, as everything sits right now, you don't want to face the Seattle Mariners. Talk about pitching, you know, especially in a short series. You maybe move a couple of those, you know, whoever you would consider your fourth and fifth starter, you move those guys in the bullpen. You know, they have a lights out closer. They have an unbelievable eighth inning guy too, and Matt Brash. You know, Cal Raleigh in the middle of that lineup, a much improved line. That's a pitching staff you don't want to face. I think that's kind of the team that really just needs to get over the hump. They need to figure out a way to maintain this wild card position, if not go out and try to win the division, because that team is built to win playoff series.
If you had a vote, Kevin, Judge or the big dumper for the MVP?
Oh, me joining Foul Territory doesn't get me a vote. That was the main reason I joined. I thought I was going to get a chance. I thought I was going to get a chance to vote on this stuff.
Talk to AJ.
I guess my media, I guess my media credential is not that strong yet.
Yeah.
Look at I get all the things. I get the like the recent bias. You know, I think people get tired of seeing the same people win over and over again. You know, I don't think that's the case here. I mean, I think what Aaron Judge is doing is insane, but this has nothing to do with him, you know, winning the last couple of years. I think what Kyle Raleigh is doing is historic. I like to factor in the historic component of it. He's catching pretty much every day. He's in the lineup every day. He's catching 4 out of 5 games. He just hit his 50th homer. You know, he's got a chance to, you know, potentially hit 60 homers as a catcher, a switch hitting catcher, to be the main, you know, catcher with the type of pitching staff he has to handle every day. I see no reason not to give it to him if he continues kind of down this trend of, you know, hitting around 240, 250. You know, he's going to drive in over 100. He's going to hit somewhere between 50 and 60 home runs. Switch hitting catcher. It's crazy.
Kevin, a massive odd shift in the NL Cy Young over the last couple of days. You, of course, have the Wheeler injury, as unfortunate as that is, and then Sanchez wasn't great the other day. Skeens was a favorite, but now they're saying it's basically over. Do you think it's over? That it's just going to be, all right, Skeens, rookie of the year last year, Cy Young this year.
Over. I think it's close to over. I mean, I think, like you said, going into the season, he was probably the odds end favorite to win it, and he's certainly done everything in his power to kind of back that up. I'm not a huge believer in the wins and losses because I know how much that is reliant on a team. You know, what he's been able to do and go out and pitch to, you know, right at a 2 ERA. I think he's got like a 2.1 ERA. It's kind of insane. And what it kind of reminds me of too is, you know, obviously they have nothing to play for at this point. He's not going deep into games right now. I don't hold that against him. That's an organizational philosophy. But what that does remind me of is Blake Snell, the year he won the Cy Young with Tampa, was doing a very similar thing. He was only going 3 or 5 innings a start. And I always tell people up until this point, that was the best pitcher I'd ever faced. That specific second half, Blake Snell, when he was able to kind of unload or empty the gas tank in 5 innings, was a nightmare. And I think that's what you're going to see from Paul Skeens. From he probably has 5 or 6 starts left. You're probably going to see him only go 5 innings. They're going to kind of keep his workload down, and he's going to be an absolute nightmare to face for 5 innings.
I know we just met, but I feel comfortable telling you this story. I think you were playing a game in Oakland, and you went over the wall and brought back a homer. And I had the under in the game. I think the total was like 8.5, and the game was 4-3, maybe 2 runners on. And you go over the wall, and you bring one back, and you kept the game under, buddy. So a delayed thank you for catching that ball. What's it like to take a homer away in the majors?
It's honestly for me, it's equally as honestly, it's probably more fun than hitting a homer. You know, I think I ended my career somewhere around 110 homers, and I think I have about 5 or 6 robbed homers, so it doesn't happen as often. But you know, as a guy who loves to play defense, was probably known more for his defense. I mean, that's kind of the epitome of you know, the best thing you can do on a field. You know, making a great play is obviously very special, but when you have one that directly results in taking away at least one run, sometimes multiple runs, it's kind of that moment you dream of growing up. You know, it's a play probably we all you know, growing up practice in our backyard, whether it was against the house or a backyard fence or whatever you could find. You would throw the ball to yourself, reach over the fence. Kevin
Yep.
Pillar robbed a homer, so get a chance to do it in a big league stadium in front of fans. And something for me that just never got old is, you know, I love to see myself on Top Plays. You know, I grew up watching Top Plays, sitting in my room dreaming about an opportunity to see myself make a play. I was always hoping I could make a play good enough in Little League where, you know, my parents would send it in and ESPN would put you on there. But to get a chance to do it in the major leagues, you know, many of times never got old. And I think that's to the last day I played, you know, every time I went on the field, you're kind of hoping for that opportunity where that perfect type of balls, whether it's hit over the fence or in a gap and you get a chance to go lay out and make a play and you get up, throw the ball, and in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you know, there's a good chance we're going to be seeing this tonight. And it was always something fun for me. It was fun for my family. You know, a lot of my friends, you know, teammates, you know, whether it was high school, college, or the league, for them to, you know, be like, I knew that guy. It was always a cool thing.
Kevin Pillar, 13 years in the majors, and now he's crossed over to the media side. Check him out on Foul Territory. Weekdays, 1 o'clock Eastern. Kevin, I'm in the Chicago area. I heard you do an interview last year when you signed with the Sox. I was like, this guy's going to be doing media. And here he is a year later. He's doing media. Best of luck. Hope to talk throughout the playoffs coming up. Joe O, Sammy P, Heisman chatter on the other side. This is the BetMGM Network. Man. Sometimes you wish the off-air conversation was on air, and sometimes definitely not.
Nope, not that one.
Everybody's done. Everybody's done for if it is. Welcome back, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. Appreciate Kevin Pillar for jumping on the show. Yeah, it's going to be great stretch run as we start to figure out the playoff picture, Major League Baseball, and we'll continue to have somebody from Foul Territory each and every week as we get closer to playoffs. My big takeaway, and he wasn't being a homer because he didn't pick the team that he played 7 years, where I'm sure he has a lot of fans from up in Canada. He's like, yeah, Seattle's a team. You don't get short series, wild card round. You don't want anything to do with the Seattle Mariners. And it's not even like they're playing great ball right now, but that's a team that still stands out to him in a wide open AL.
They've been sort of a sexy pick for a few years now, really ever since they called up Julio. They've been sort of a sneaky team to win the division, to win the pennant. The talent, though, is finally there. And I think a lot of people around Seattle feel that they have the 1-2-3 in the rotation. They could easily win it. I know we joke about this, and I was listening to a baseball podcast yesterday with Rob Bradford, who works for Odyssey. And he's on with, I can't remember the analyst he was on with, but they were talking about how wide open the AL is. And Bradford made the comment, I say this every year, but it's never been more wide open. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, because for as solid as the Yankees were last year, you don't have that guy that you know you can give the ball to in a playoff game and he'll go out there and deal. I mean, that guy coming into last summer and planning for 25 was Gerrit Cole. You don't have Gerrit Cole. He's not going to be there in the playoffs. So is Max Fried the guy? Maybe. I don't think it's Carlos Rodon. All right, go win me one game. You probably go Fried, but I don't know that he's the guy. So you're looking for flaws in those four teams. I call them the big four in the American League. Seattle, Toronto, New York, Detroit. Seattle's got the best offense, I think, when everybody's clicking, and Detroit has the best get me a win guy in Skubal. But it could be any of those four teams, and watch it be a team that sneaks in. If our Texas Rangers get hot and make it, I think they could be interesting, but I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just kind of trying to speak that into existence.
I wish you would. Every day I look at the standings and I get annoyed with the Texas Rangers. Was it Eduardo Perez or
it
Buster Olney?
Yeah, it was somebody like that. And Bradford says, I know we say this every year, but the American League is as wide open at the top as it's been.
It is like there's no team. I asked that question to Pillar because I wouldn't know how to answer it. There's not a team that I'm scared of. If I'm in the AL playoff picture, you just want to get in. You could make the case that the top three teams are actually all in the same division in the East. I know record-wise and run differential-wise, that's not the case, but I think you could make that case. What's so funny?
I'm laughing because I just checked our text thread, and Brian Gertsch sent a picture of a poodle.
I don't even understand what the – he has the most
random responses. Yes, you do. You know exactly what the poodle is.
What does it mean?
Oh, no, exactly.
Yeah, I get it. I forgot about the poodle. I forgot. The guy looking for attention at all times.
How could you forget? How could you forget the poodle bite of 2025?
I mean, it almost – he didn't make it back. One poodle bite, and he's still fighting the good fight. Anyways, let's talk college football.
Where were we? Sorry, let's where were we? My track. Bad.
Let's get on track. Not back on track. Let's get on track. Heisman Trophy. You cashed a big ticket. You pumped it up on the show a whole lot. You were telling people go bet Travis Hunter. And, you know, maybe people hesitated because it was a non-quarterback, but that happens once every few years. I want to ask if you're buying into any of this. So if we go back to 2000, let's work backwards. Let's start with Travis Hunter. Okay, so you got Hunter, a guy that plays both sides, and with the season he put together, it didn't matter if Colorado was in the playoff or not. It ended up not being, but it didn't matter because he's a unicorn. People saw something they've never seen before and maybe will never see again. So Hunter's your Heisman winner. Before that, we had a run of three quarterbacks. Then in a bad quarterback year, it was Devontae with Alabama. Before that, four quarterbacks. Then it was Derrick Henry, five quarterbacks. Then it was Mark Ingram, three quarterbacks. And it was Reggie Bush, then five quarterbacks. That brings us to 2000. It feels like after you have a non-quarterback win it, and I know it's kind of priced this way, it feels like for sure it's going to be a quarterback. That's been the trend since 2000. You don't see non-QBs win this in back-to-back years, but there are a couple of Jeremiahs that are awesome that are probably going to be great at the next level. Notre Dame and Ohio State I'm talking about. Are you looking at Heisman Trophy big picture as we're zooming out and saying, man, they went non-quarterback this year. They don't do that in back-to-back years. You got to go QB?
I would think it's a quarterback because you had so many big-name quarterbacks flame out last year. Remember the favorites last summer? This time last year, we were talking about co-favorites at most books. Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck. Those were your co-favorites to win the Heisman. Now, I'm invested in Beck, as everybody knows. I'm not going to break this down because we've talked about it for months now. I bet Beck. Blue Book had a 37-1 in the middle of June, end of June maybe. That number is gone. I assure you it's gone. And we had a lot to do with that. I see him now around the 18-20-1 range, which you can't sit here and say you love it as much as you did when the price was double. But I want to buy dips on guys, and that's a big dip from 8-1 last summer to 37-1 at the time this summer. The math wasn't mathing for me there. But I'll be honest with you, the last couple years, my preseason Heisman pick hasn't hit. 2 years ago, I was Penix, and Penix had a really good season, but he wasn't the Heisman. And my pick last year was Jackson Dart. Had a good season, didn't win the Heisman. I have been able to, and you talk to a lot of people that have pull and that, you know, might have the ability to not sway the market, but affect the market. And they told me end of October 2 years ago, go bet Jaden Daniels. Now, a lot of wise guys would see that 5-1 on Jaden Daniels at the time and go, nah, I missed the number. But then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, he's plus 150. So the Heisman market, the last 2 years at least, has been a market where you can take the favorite and maybe not get the best of it, obviously. But Travis Hunter this time last year is 50-1. We bet some 30-1 week three, and we kept adding on 12-1, 6-1. Now, some guys would tell you, you can't bet 12, you can't bet 6. Well, going into the ceremony, he's minus 500. So why can't you bet 12 or 6? It's almost like you can be late to the party and still get a pretty decent number. I mean, what's wrong with having 30? But I remember last year I told a guy that bets for a living. I said, I'm going to bet this at 30. Nah, I can't do it. He's not going to win, and you should have got 50. Well, I hit 30 and 12 and 6. So I think it's paramount that you understand the way the market shapes after the first month, and really you could key in on a guy or two that the market just kind of falls for. And the media was salivating over Travis Hunter last year. salivating. You knew at the end of October he was probably going to win the Heisman. And you could have bet 6-1, 5-1, 4-1. But a lot of wise guys were telling me, don't add. It's not a good number. Maybe they're wrong.
It is if he wins. It is if he wins. I'm trying to remove that line of thinking. I fall for that sometimes too. Like, it just bothers you to your core. Like Horton, right? Cade Horton. We're talking about him with the Cubs for NL Rookie of the Year. It's like, man, but before last night he was 40 and now he's 20. Yeah, but you also have another data point. That's why he moved from 40 to 20. That's why Travis Hunter moved from 50 to 30, because you had a data point. And what I would push back with is, well, what I would have bet him at 50 is not what I'm going to bet him at 30, right? I'm guessing that's the case too. Like, you have more intel, so maybe you're going to increase your risk, increase your bet on that. So yeah, I mean, that's something that I think a lot of us fall for. Like, you're mad at yourself for not getting the best number in the world. Okay, but we have more information and people are betting it and we have this performance to look at. You might feel better about it at this point. So I think that's a good point to bring up. Do you know off the top of your head the last time the Heisman Trophy favorite going into the season, the offseason favorite one?
Marcus Mariota, 2014.
Yep. That's it. 9 straight years. The favorite has not won. The favorite's Arch Manning. People are scared. Every year, people are scared of not being on the favorite. Like, oh, because Arch has all this hype. He's around 5-1 right now. So for us, at least I think you agree, like, that's scratch him off. Scratch him off. Let's go somewhere else. You were talking about your favorite conference futures. Like, that's the first thing I started thinking of. Okay, what if we're right on one of these futures with a little bit of value? You've talked about Bama multiple times today. If Bama wins the SEC, if they're in that conversation, they're in the championship game, Ty Simpson's going to get love. He's 20-1.
He's got two NFL receivers, too.
Yep.
I mean, what's wrong with that offense, with that system, that coaching staff? You mentioned bringing Grubb back to run the offense. That combo at Washington was elite. And remember, that's the team that had Michael Penix Jr. and Roma Dunze. And those two did big things. And they got him the ball. They made sure to get Adunze the ball. Penix was in the room. I think that was a good bet. I bet Penix 25-1. I felt good about it. I think he finished second or third. But the talent was there, and the numbers were there. He didn't have a year like Jaden Daniels. I think there's a lot to like at Alabama. And I had Brad Powers on Chicken Dinner last week, and he said they're my national champ. He's got them, I think, number 3 in the country, power rating-wise. And the more you hear about Simpson, you hear about his athleticism and his ability to break runs in the open field. If he's a dual threat at Bama, and he can carve up some big runs in big moments against SEC defenses, not to mention he's got two NFL receivers at his disposal, there's a lot of potential there. And that number's gotten bet. I don't think he's been talked about a lot. I mean, how many times have you heard Ty Simpson to win the Heisman? I haven't heard it. But
no.
He was 30-1 a month ago, and now he's 20-1, 18-1. He might not be talked about, but he's definitely taken money in that market.
A guy that has the exact same number, but his team is much shorter to win the title. Every time we have this Big Ten conversation, it's the same thing. It's about James Franklin, whether or not he could win the big game. That doesn't matter for the regular season, though. Drew Aller, I feel like people aren't talking about it. They're talking around him. The same people that love Penn State aren't talking about Aller for the Heisman. He's the same number as Simpson, and they're a much shorter favorite for the Big Ten, the second favorite, I believe, to win the Big Ten. It's all set up for them to be great, and you bring in Knowles, you have both running backs, Aller's, like, everybody's, it is set up perfectly for this to be Penn State's year. If it's Penn State's year, shouldn't we be talking about Aller more?
Yeah, would you rather bet Penn State to win the title or Aller to win the Heisman? I'm probably in the second bucket because I believe he can put up numbers over a 12-game sample that will impress. And their big weakness last year was receiver. Look what they did in the portal. They brought in three legit receivers in the portal. Okay, we didn't have receivers last year. We'll bring in three this year, and we'll give them to Drew Aller. With the two senior backs that he brings back, the offensive line is good. And schematically, from a play-calling standpoint, there are not many coordinators better than Andy Kotelnicki. This is lining up for Drew Aller. The problem when you do this segment is we like three or four guys. Which one do we want to bet, though? I mean, I don't know which one. I don't know who I want to add to my Carson Beck folder with that ticket. I want to add somebody else. I just can't figure out who.
Yeah, it's difficult. You talked about Travis Hunter being 50 at this time last year, and it's funny. Like you pull up Prop Shop, which we recommend a lot, and you only see one book that's mentioned right now for Heisman. Like, oh, well, I like Michigan. Why the hell not? Right? 22-1. Oh, no. Wait, there's 50s out there. There's a few 50s. So make sure you take that extra time to go look around. Joe O, Sammy P, Lightning Bets next. This is the BetMGM Network. Lightning Bets coming up in a few minutes. Joe O, Sammy P. A lot of fun today with all the guests that we've had. Jeff Schwartz, Paul Charchian, Kevin Pillar hanging out. Make sure you're subscribed to the BetSweats podcast. Also check us out on the Odyssey app. Never miss a segment, never miss an episode. All that stuff stays up there for at least 24 hours. Get busy at work. You can always go back to the show if you end up missing a segment. Been fun, man, talking Heisman, talking Chiefs. They're the team that we preview today. And doing this has helped us land on some bets that we end up talking about during this segment, Sammy.
Once we got your video and my audio to work, flawless. I will also make a quick notation with all of our guests. So Jeff Schwartz wants to Oklahoma drill me in the hallway.
Yeah.
Church called me a reach around artist. And then Kevin Pillar told me I look like somebody that needs sunscreen.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of us would fit that. So if I was the one that told that story, he would have said the same thing to me. And I've been in that situation many times. So it's funny you were talking about that's happened to me. Oh, years ago, it happened once. It was like early season. I forgot who Notre Dame was playing. And I didn't have a hat. I didn't put sunscreen on either. And I didn't think much of it. It's like 75 degrees. But in the sun, 4 or 5 hours, man, I had like boils on my forehead. It was so bad because I had super sensitive skin, and I think that's what you were getting at as well.
Whoa, unnecessary there, Gertz, to show that
what
picture.
Is that?
Great picture. That's the picture of – oh, that's right. You weren't here. That's me after a five-hour tailgate in Champaign, 2010.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I knew I shouldn't have sent that to Gertz because now he's got forever. Ammo for any time.
It's in the
file. No doubt. To be fair, though, I do love when he pops up the George Hook picture. That one's – I mean, you never know when it's coming. And that's then if you're favorite. Watching on video, pow, you get George with the hook. It's outstanding.
Jeff Schwartz, big fan. Did not know he was a big fan.
So that was one of those games, and I'll never forget it because Bama was on the ropes. Bama was a 20-point favorite, 19-point favorite to Texas, and my buddy Trey said, "Come to a game," and I picked Bama. It was week two. This is a couple years ago, and I had to work Friday night. I had to do Red Sox pre and post, so I couldn't go Friday. I ended up flying in Saturday and then flying back Sunday, which I do more than I'd like to admit. One day. And I got on the plane Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, flew to Austin, landed at 9:30 or whatever, and then the game was at 11. I got off the plane, no book bag, literally wearing what I was wearing that day, and then I went to the game. Did not have sunscreen and didn't think it was a big deal. I was burnt for a week. It was embarrassing how bad it was. And you wouldn't think like, oh, like, you know, I'll be in the sun for 4 hours in Texas at 100 degrees. Not a big deal. Big mistake. No hat. I had sunglasses on, but then I had the sunglass lines for a week on television.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Brutal.
I get that. I've had that from the baseball field with sunglasses, and then you look like, oh, crap. You see the line on the side, too? Like, oh, man. It's a rough look. Okay, if you're going to one SEC, it doesn't have to be the matchup. Give me one location. If you're going to an SEC game, what's the location? First thing that comes to mind that you got to do?
Night game, Death Valley.
I was thinking the same. Yep. Oh, always heard great things. I don't think you can go wrong. Like if we go to Tennessee, Tuscaloosa, even between the hedges, like there's, I don't think you can go wrong with the top half of that conference.
The problem is if you and I were to go to a game, say we went to LSU, Florida this year, week 3, Florida's at LSU Saturday night. They're going to be barbecuing gator outside the stadium. The problem is that we have to go to this game and have a blast, and then you have to get up at, what, 6 in the morning Sunday?
No, I don't. Do I have to? Do I have
to? I haven't gotten the full green light on Sunday, so maybe if we just act like we don't know anything, we don't have to show up.
We don't know anything, because I don't know anything.
Okay.
And it sounds like you don't know anything.
I was told it's coming back, but I don't
More
know
than me.
If it is. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Maybe we should shut up and it won't happen.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. Dump the last minute or so, Jake, please.
Rewind.
Something else we failed to get to, probably by design, is the wedding. That's apparently going to happen. Anyways, Dave Mason did not waste any time. There are some props that I would have never even thought of. Already posted. Good job out there. Gets people talking. We haven't seen it since the Super Bowl. It has made its appearance. It's back. Will Donna Kelce show cleavage at the wedding? There's a yes-no price.
Probably.
Yeah.
What's the yes?
Well, yes is plus 250. It's a dollar.
Oh, yes all day. Yes all day.
Right? Yeah.
But I'm betting with my heart there, not with my head.
Will it be a shotgun wedding? No's a heavy favorite. How do you determine shotgun?
So.
Yeah, I don't think so either. They're going to drag this out.
And then the first prop I saw that Mason put up offshore was what will happen first. Taylor Swift announces the baby. That was minus 175. Uh-huh. Kelce retires plus 135. That was the first market that I saw yesterday.
I say retires.
Do you take the dog?
Yeah. What, is she in a rush? I don't think so.
I don't see why she would be. It feels to me, and again, I have no knowledge of this, it feels to me like he plays one more season. After the playoffs, they go to business, and then the baby comes out 9 months later, August or September.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to sing first at the wedding? Oh, Jason Kelce's the favorite. Taylor Swift is going to have him sing first at her wedding before herself?
Who would it be? Who are the other options? Is there a market on this?
Yeah, there is. There is.
Who else?
Travis Kelce is the second favorite. Taylor Swift is the third favorite. Then we get into the likes of Selena Gomez. Oh, wow. Stevie Nicks, Shania Twain, really? Are there connections there? Britney bitch at 20-1? Olivia Rodrigo.
Know.
If they're friends, that might be one to go with. I
all
don't
I
think
know,
it's going to be Kanye.
All I know is I'm happy for them. That's pretty much my level of excitement. Good for them, whatever. Did you see the woman on CBS News, Olivia LeRinaldi?
No.
She was on live TV yesterday on CBS News when the announcement came out, and she lost her mind on live TV. She was, oh my God, oh my God, they're married. And then she said, quote, I feel like Paul Revere right now. That was her direct quote on national news when the news broke.
I don't understand why people care so much. Like, I don't get it. I heard a conversation with two women yesterday. I'm like, do you really care that much? It's like, this is all I care about today. I'm like, why? I stopped caring as soon as I saw it, the news. I'm like, oh, okay. Sweet. Whatever. I'm more interested in Donna Cleveland props.
Yes, me too.
That's what it
is. Dump them out, Donna. Dump them out.
Where's the bachelorette party going to be? That's out there. You can do stuff like that. It's not Vegas. There's no way it's Vegas. Anyways, lightning bets for this Wednesday. Where are you going, Sam?
I've given you already Miami plus the points. I've given you Colorado over 52.5. And Michael Felder has convinced me. Everybody is talking about the under in Texas, Ohio State. And understand the Sharps did bet good numbers. 50.5, 50, 49.5, 49. Now we're at 47.5. I'm ready to buy. I'm going to go over. I think he's totally right. The big plays will be there. Joe, you might have four NFL receivers in this game, and you probably have two NFL quarterbacks. Sure, they're young. Sure, they're inexperienced. But I think these offenses are better than people think. And Ohio State lost 8 starters on that championship defense. I'm over in Columbus, 47.5.
Swing big on your next MLB parlay. Use this parlay boost token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits, only at BetMGM. All right. We did the Chiefs preview, and I'm there. Let's do -105. I look at it and say this is a bargain. That people are so hot on Chargers, Harbaugh year 2. Look at what the Broncos did with Sean Payton. One of them's going to break through eventually. No, I think the Chiefs are going to win the division for the 10th straight year. Give me the Chiefs -105 to win that division. Talked about Clemson ACC. You can find a +120 out there. This is your bet, but I want to throw this out there. You've been saying for weeks how sharp guys are like Bills to the Chiefs, and that's +180. I love that. And if you want to add something else in, we've been hearing from listeners and viewers all day that are doing that. Keep sending those creative parlays on the upcoming season that you guys have put together. Bet_sweats. Very cool. Let's go to Paul and Jake. Do you guys have anything for today?
Okay, Paul died. Speaking of the creative parlays, can I interest anybody? And you know where this is going. Junior Caminero to hit a home run tonight against Slade Ciccone of the Guardians, who's given up 12 in his last 9 starts. Caminero's been awesome for the Rays. Pair it with Jonathan Grenard elsewhere. Defensive player of the year, 300-1. Let's rock.
Let's go, baby.
Lizard.
Paul, we got a couple seconds. Anything? No, we don't.
Yeah, I got 3 college football futures, but my internet sucks right now, and we got 15 seconds, so I'll get
do
to
it tomorrow.
Conference futures.
Yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. Good stuff. Make sure to hang out on the show 9 a.m. Eastern. This has been Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.